Sodom and Gomorrah. So the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is not just in the Bible. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just in the Bible for us to know. It's in the Bible for us to learn from. It's in the Bible for us to learn from, and so that we can know what is expected to happen to mankind. Sodom and Gomorrah has become a symbol of two things, such that whenever you hear the mention of Sodom and Gomorrah, your mind will go to something. One, it is a symbol of a society that is totally far from God, completely morally depraved, completely immoral. It's a symbol of a perverse society. Whenever you hear Sodom, that is the first thing that comes to your mind. In fact, from the word Sodom, they got a word called sodomy, in which they used to tag homosexuals. So Sodom and Gomorrah has become a symbol of something bad, a symbol of immorality, a symbol of a society that is completely godless. It's a symbol of a society that is far from God, that is hostile towards God. But not just that. It is also the symbol of something else. It is the symbol of divine judgment. It's a symbol of divine retribution. It's a symbol of the wrath of God. So when you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, the second thing that comes to your mind is, oh, those cities that God judged in his wrath. So when God refers to a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, he's saying, I am fed up with your nonsense. I am fed up with your evil. I am fed up with your lifestyle. I have sentenced you to judgment. Praise God. That is the meaning of Sodom and Gomorrah. A symbol of immorality, a symbol of an hostile environment towards God, and a symbol of divine punishment. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That was God's commentary about Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so wicked that God was fed up with them. They prospered in sin and iniquity. That God said, no, I must judge these nations. But Sodom and Gomorrah is also significant. It signifies a completely depraved society. It signifies a society that is completely far from God and a society that is ripe for judgment. Amen. Pride. When they go to a state where they feel they don't need God, when man becomes independent of God, it becomes pride. And that was the sin of Sodom. Fullness of bread is just about materialism and earthly things. An abundance of idleness. The adage that says an idle mind is what? The devil's workshop. She was in hand, and she did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That means there was greediness and covetousness everywhere. So it's not just homosexuality. Sodom and Gomorrah had sins they committed. Homosexuality was only one of them. So Sodom and Gomorrah symbolizes a society that is in enmity with God, and a society that is set for divine judgment. It cannot be redeemed. It cannot be bought back. It cannot be forgiven. When God referred to Jerusalem as Sodom and Gomorrah, immediately judgment followed. So when God refers to a generation or a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, that means judgment is sure, judgment is certain. There's no repentance for them again. Mercy cannot prevail again over them. So it's a very, very bad state of mankind if God should call us Sodom and Gomorrah. Righteousness is a function of truth. The foundation of righteousness is what? Truth. Without truth, there can be no righteousness. And when I say truth, I'm talking of the word of God. That means truth was scarce. Where truth is scarce, righteousness will be scarce. Where truth is missing, righteousness will be missing. Where truth is prevailing, righteousness will be prevailing. If there is no truth, there is no righteousness. So when he's saying, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it's to let you know that truth will be scarce. Sodom and Gomorrah. We're not talking of churches. Righteousness is a function of truth. Truth is what produces righteousness. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Righteousness is a function of truth. The foundation of righteousness is what? Truth. Without truth, there can be no righteousness. And when I say truth, I'm talking of the word of God. That means truth was scarce. Where truth is scarce, righteousness will be scarce. Where truth is missing, righteousness will be missing. Where truth is prevailing, righteousness will be prevailing. If there is no truth, there is no righteousness. So when he's saying, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it's to let you know that truth will be scarce. Truth will be scarce. Righteousness will be scarce because truth is scarce. Churches today, are they not business centers? How many churches preach righteousness today? Those that even try, what they end up doing is to preach morality instead of righteousness. There's a vast difference between morality and righteousness. Morality, you can cover yourself from head to toe like the Muslim women do. That is only their eyes you will see. That doesn't make you righteous. You are covering yourself from head to toe, but simple water baptism in the name of Jesus, you are saying no, you are unrighteous. It is God that makes you righteous. It is God that declares you righteous. And he does it by his word, by the truth. That's why the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Truth is what produces righteousness. Where there is no truth, there is no righteousness. Abel, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel did it by the revelation of truth. Cain was religious. Cain also offered unto God a sacrifice, but God rejected the sacrifice. So we might have billions of churches in Nigeria. And those big churches that say their goal is to have a church in five minute drive in every street or every state in Nigeria. That has nothing to do with righteousness. Except that church is preaching the word of God. The Bible says in Amos 8:11 that there shall be famine in the land. Famine of the word of God. So when the word of God is scarce, tell me, how can men become righteous? Praise the Lord. He couldn't find 10 righteous people in all of Sodom and Gomorrah. He could not find 10. That means the whole society had become completely godless. They were living by the dictates of their flesh. They don't care what God feels about them. They don't care what God thinks about them. How can you be and you say you want to please God and you do not care what God thinks about you? You do not care what God thinks about something. When you come to God, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In your own understanding, when you trust, that might be okay. But what is God saying? In your own understanding, you might be okay with a particular lifestyle, but what is God saying? And that's the greatest problem of man. If you do not care what he thinks, you will not attain unto his standard. Esther, Queen Esther, and several maidens were called. What was the distinguishing factor on Esther? Esther chapter 2, let's read it. What made Esther unique? Why was the crown set upon her? Why was the crown set upon Esther? There was a state of mind that she had. And except you have that state of mind, you can as well call your spiritual life F9. Esther 2. Let's start from verse 13. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. And whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. Here you are, you want to be the queen of a king. And you are not even cross-checking yourself. What does the king like? How does the king like his queen to dress, to appear? He just felt, your own understanding. If I dress this way, if I reveal this, if my figure 8 should come out, the king will fall for me. That was the mindset of these maidens. Verse 15, what happened to Esther? Now, when the turn of Esther, oh my God. The daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter. When her time was come to go in unto the king, she did what? Please read along now. It's not written in Greek. She required nothing. But what a guy, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And what happened to her? Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus, into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. Verse 17. And the king did what? Because her desire was to appear the way the king liked. If you are ever going to be queen, Jesus Christ, your desire should be, how does Jesus want me to be? You don't come to God on your own terms. You don't come on your own thinking. You don't come as you like. You have to subject yourself to his will, to his word. You must come to him the way he desires. That is when you will obtain favor before him and he will set the crown upon you. That was a distinguishing factor upon Esther. She desired what the king wanted, not what she wanted. Praise the Lord. So in our story, 10 righteous could not be found in all of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you study very well, you discover that God destroyed 5 cities. That means in these 5 cities, 10 righteous people could not be found in it. That means the truth was cast in that society. It is happening today. This generation, this 21st century, is a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. There are so many things that we take for granted today. For instance, wearing of trousers, you women. You think it has always been that way from onset? No. The history is there. During the Second World War, especially in America, many young men were enlisted into the army. And women started taking up the jobs of these men. That was how they started wearing the clothing of men. Then in the entertainment world, there were some crazy actresses that took it as fashion. Before you know it, became glamorized and everybody started wearing trousers. But the foundation of God stands sure. His truth still remains. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It might be beautiful on you, but Esther, what does the king want? Your makeup, your foundation and pancake might be fine on you, but what does the king want? Yes, you take alcohol, but you don't get intoxicated, you don't get drunk. You just take a social drink once in a while. What does the king want? Except you come the way the king wants, you will never be the queen. It will happen this generation. Men will be more unrighteous. If God could not find 10 righteous men in the days of Lot, what makes you think he will find 10 in our day? I know too well. I believe in this ministry with my heart. I'm fanatical about this church. I am fanatical about Bride Assembly Church. I believe in the cause, the purpose, the goal of this ministry. But I know too well that not up to 20% in this church are rapturable. By my own statistics, so you are free to do yours. Not up to 20% are rapturable in this church. It is more than I don't fornicate. There are the fruit of the Spirit. And the funny thing is, many of us are not even sincere enough with ourselves. You think because you fell under anointing, you have received the Holy Ghost. I pity you. 10 righteous could not be found in this generation. There is proliferation of churches. Churches are increasing in number, and they will increase more and more. Somebody can just decide and wake up. Let me start church now. People start churches today without the call of God. Ministry today is about is about business, his career. His career is about business. We will have more of it, but less of righteousness. Simply because the truth is put aside. In the days of Lot, 10 could not be found. 10! 10 could not be found. How many will be found in our own generation? In the days of Noah, just 8. How many will be found in this generation? We talk of the coming of the Lord. We sing all the time, see you in the rapture, see you in the rapture. How many are genuinely preparing for the rapture? If you want to travel to US, there are things to check. Your international passport, your visa, and then your flight ticket. If you want to travel to heaven, there are things you also check. Have you genuinely received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Are you truly perfected? Can you say, if you see me, you have seen Christ? Heaven is not by mouth. It's not faith confession. I will go to heaven. I will see Jesus. It's not by singing. There's work to be done. He says, examine yourself to see whether ye be in the faith. From the scripture, you can judge yourself and know whether if I should die now, whether I'm going to heaven or hell. From the scriptures, you can judge yourself. There is no guesswork. There's no maybe. If your salvation is still hanging on maybe, you are not yet saved. There's no guesswork. There's no maybe. Don't bring maybe. That is why people have purgatory mentality. When somebody dies, may God, Father, may he help him. Oh, he is gone. If he's not right with God at the moment he dies, forever he's gone. Apostle Paul was so certain of his life. He was so certain that he had attained unto righteousness that he was telling Timothy, I have fought the good fights. I have kept the faith. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He was sure. He was sure. So we need to wake up. Examine yourself. Then could not be found. Iniquity will abound. Can God truly certify you righteous? Say we have the Holy Ghost. Many of us don't. Many of us don't. And if you do, you are not allowing him to perfect you. Praise God. 10 could not be found. God cried out, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is too grievous. He could not find 10. That means the percentage of righteousness is what? Very low. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. I still want to emphasize that the days of Sodom and Gomorrah is a sign, is a pointer to the coming of the Lord. And we are in those days. This 21st century, I'm saying it again, is a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. This know also that what? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous, dangerous. Dangerous times shall come. What will happen? Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of what? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It is very rampant in this generation. Now look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such do what? People will be more religious. I will not be surprised if the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were not going to church. They were. Verse 7 says something. There's something I like in verse 7. It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's not by religion, it's not by church going. You want to be righteous, you must know the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God saves us by truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. God saves us by truth. And when Satan wants to destroy a society, when Satan wants to destroy a generation, he will make sure the truth is missing in that generation. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. And what? Please, let's chorus that last verse together, last phrase together. Through sanctification of the Spirit and what? Truth matters. Truth matters. The previous sermon I preached, I said God does not have double standards. The standard is the truth. Truth matters. Every word of God is yea and amen. Truth matters. So don't joke, don't play with the truth. Be established in the truth. But the beautiful thing about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah was that God found a lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. He had concluded them all to judgment. The punishment was certain and sure. But there was Lot in Sodom. Hallelujah. And Lot, I can see a type of the bride of Christ in Lot. Let's read it. Genesis 19. The Bible calls Lot what? A righteous man. Before we go to Genesis 19, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Lot was referred to as a righteous man. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Verse 7. And delivered who? Just Lot. Just means righteous. Vexed with the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. Verse 8. For that righteous man, Lot, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Praise God. That is a type of the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Lot was vexed with the lifestyle of the Sodomites. How many of us are weeping and crying for the abomination of the land today? Most of us partake and participate in it. This is a day of comedy skits. An ignoramus will just wake up one day and decide to make people laugh, and we do it anyway. Whether it's unholy or not, you see Christians watching it and laughing. That was not Lot. Lot was vexed. If the Holy Ghost in you is not making you to hate this generation, I mean really hate this generation and what is happening, you don't yet have the Holy Ghost. Let's see something in Ezekiel chapter 9. You don't yet have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That means Lot will wake up every day, his hand on his head. He was fed up and tired. Ezekiel 9 from verse 1. Because some of us, the only thing we know about the Holy Ghost is that you fell down and you had some manifestations. No. He cried also in my ears. Listen attentively and learn something. Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. Even every man which is destroying weapon in his hand. God wants to destroy the land. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gates, which lies toward the north. And every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. What did he say? And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and do what? Set a mark upon the foreheads of them that sigh. Them that do what? Them that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. A type of Lot. Before we read on, he says, go and set a mark on the head of those that are crying for the abominations of the land. Those that are fed up with the godliness in the land. You cannot say you are fed up and you are partaking in the ungodliness that is prevailing in the world. Verse 5. And to the others, he said in my hearing, go in after him through the city and smite, and let not your eyes spare, neither have a pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women. But do what? Come not near any man upon whom is this mark. And do what? Begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. Praise God. That marking on their head is a type of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30 says what? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What did the Holy Ghost do in them? It made them cry and sigh for the abomination of the land. I still repeat, if you are not weeping, if you are not unsatisfied with the present condition of the world today, you don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking of the economic hardship. I'm talking of the lifestyle you see everywhere. If truly you are not weeping, if it's not paining you, you don't yet have the Holy Spirit. If it is not paining you, and this is a generation where many people think that life is sweet. If life is still sweet to you in this generation, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because everywhere is completely antichrist. Everywhere is completely antichrist. Is it the entertainment you want to talk of? What do we see on the TV? And some of us spend hours watching Catalina and Sebastian, watching Where You Are Mine, watching Meek, what was it called? You are not, that means you are satisfied with the abomination of the land. You spend hours watching Premiership and UEFA. You are satisfied with it. It is sweet to you. Until you come to an estate where you are weeping and crying, that all that matters to you and gives you comfort is your fellowship with God, because the whole world is completely against God. You then have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That was the condition of Lot. The Bible says he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was unsatisfied, dissatisfied with the things happening in Sodom. You may ask, why didn't he leave Sodom? The Bible, God intentionally left him there to warn me and you in this generation. Because the fact that we are unsatisfied with the world does not mean we should commit suicide. Praise God. So that's one of the reasons I believe Lot did not leave Sodom. So that we can learn from him. Yet, the Bible said the righteous man was vexed. Because if you turn on your radio, the rubbish you hear will vex you. The things you see on TV will vex you. The things you read on the news will vex you. But there are believers in the church today. If you should check their phone, go to their music library, you'll be surprised what you will see. That means you are not vexed. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Show me what a man enjoys doing, and I will tell you the spirit that is in him. Show me what a man enjoys doing. I will tell you the spirit that is in him. I don't need to see vision. Praise the Lord. Lot, a type of the righteous man, a type of the believer with the Holy Ghost today. The Holy Ghost is not an anointing. Let's read Genesis 19 and let's see what became of Lot. Let's read verse 1 and 2 again. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. Genesis 19, 1, 2. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. Please, you must learn to read in between the lines. Lot was not the only one in the gate of Sodom. He was not the only one that saw the two men. But you will see why he's a type of the bride of Christ. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Verse 2. And he said, behold now, my what? How can you go and call strangers my lots? Lot could discern that these were not ordinary men. Lot was spiritually sensitive enough to know what manner of men they were. Let's read verse 3 again. And he said, behold now my lot, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go your ways. And they said, no, but we'll abide in the street all night. Verse 3. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did make unleavened bread, and they did eat. This man was spiritually alive. Praise God. He was sensitive. He could discern that these people that came into Sodom this evening, these must be messengers of God. He could discern because he was spiritually sensitive. Matthew 16 verse 1 to 3, what did Lord Jesus say? He said, you can discern the face of the skies. You can say the sky is lead and lowering. You can say there will be rain today. Verse 3. And in the morning, to be fair, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Lot could discern because he was sensitive. In fact, Lot had what? The Issachar anointing. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. He says, men that did what? Had understanding of the times. He was already vexed. He knew that the way Sodom is going, destruction must come. So when he saw two men and he was sensitive enough, he could discern, these must be angels. Even when they were saying, no, we will not enter into your house, the Bible says he pressed upon them greatly and will never let you go. It's a function of the Issachar anointing. He knew, he understood times and seasons. Ecclesiastes 8:5, what does it say? Lot could, he could discern. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 5. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. The man was spiritually sensitive. So when he saw the angels, he knew that this must be God sent. Therefore, I will not let these people pass me by. Because if they pass me by, I don't know what God has sent them here for. But that's the problem in believers today. Many of us cannot discern the signs of the times. Many of us are not spiritually sensitive. The only sensitivity most of us have is sensitivity of witch and wizard. That pushing me from my father's house. That is not sensitivity. How sensitive are you to what is happening in this generation? How sensitive are you to God's agenda to save us? Christians of today are sleeping. They are not sensitive. They are not sensitive. That's why the song that says, oh no, the sinner's voice are here. It is not the sinner in the beer parlor that will cry, I die, no. It's somebody that at least had a little knowledge of truth. Be spiritually sensitive so that you can discern the times you are. In Revelation 3 from verse 14, that was the problem God has with this generation. This particular church age called Laodicea. Revelation 3 verse 14. We know that we've been taught properly in this church that there are seven church ages from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. And we are in the seventh, the last church age. And each age has a message and a messenger. Praise God. If you don't know that, you can visit the message shop and get messages and listen to so that you know what you are doing in this place. And unto the angel of the church, let's read it, Revelation 3. Right, this is said, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich with growth, I am rich and increase with good, and have need of nothing. This is what you are saying. But you are not sensitive. It says, and knowest not. You are not sensitive to know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Spiritual sensitivity is necessary for a successful walk with God. It is not until you fall into fornication before you know that you have such a weakness. When a sister passes, are you looking at a bumper when she's passing? That should let you know that no, I need to deal on my heart. Not until you end up with that is sensitivity. When you are under pressure, do you lie? You are supposed to say, oh, this is my weakness. This is what's happening to me. That is sensitivity, and you begin to work on yourself. Do you still gossip? Are you proud? Some time ago, I entered into a supermarket, and I just didn't know what came over me. And I was walking like a big man. Maybe it's because Pastor gave me a jeep. And immediately, this is complete pride. I had to start saying, Father, have mercy upon me. And I began to work on myself on it. That is the meaning of being sensitive. Many of us are not sensitive. You are not spiritually. What is sensitivity? Response to stimuli. Sensitivity is one of the characteristics of living things. It's one of the characteristics of living things. For instance, how will I know he's alive? If I pinch him, he will react. If I put something hot on him, he will react. If you are cold, you wear something to cover yourself because you are sensitive. But if he's not sensitive, even if I use a hammer and hit him, he'll just be there. He's not feeling anything. That is the meaning of insensitivity. So even when God is showing us the signs of his coming, waving it before us, many of us are still not seeing it because we are not sensitive. Look at the world today. Economically, everything has crashed. Politically, everything has crashed. Academics, everything has crashed because you that used to study to read before, today somebody will sleep with a lecturer or bribe a lecturer and he will have his class. So there is nothing certain and nothing real in the world again. You can work hard, struggle hard. If you don't know anybody, they will not give you anything. These are all signs that the world is coming to an end, but many of us are not sensitive enough to know. Sensitivity. Lot was sensitive, and mind you, it is a sign of the Holy Ghost. We will not fix that and say Jesus will come in 20 years or 10 years. But I want you to know it is certain, it is sure that the coming of the Lord is nearer. It will happen, and many people will not go. Many people that carried Bible and went to Bride Assembly Church will not go. It's not a curse. You must be sensitive. Because of sensitivity, he could discern. And then he welcomed those angels. Even when they were saying, no, let us go. He pressed on them and they came in. If Lot had not received those angels, what would have happened to him? Praise God. Would he have been saved? Praise the Lord. Answer me, brothers and sisters. I hope you can hear me clearly. If Lot did not receive those angels, what would have happened? But he was sensitive to know. He could discern. Amen. See, when Jesus says, watch, you know, he kept saying, watch and pray. Of course, we know the meaning of prayer. But when he says, watch, he's saying, be sensitive. Watch. He's telling you, be sensitive. Because if you are not sensitive, I will pass you by. And you'll be expecting something. And you will not know it has come and gone. The next thing you know is the Antichrist taking over the world system. You must be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, to the leading of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord.